listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart, Florida, greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We've called this program for a long time,
Raising the Standard.
17 plus years, so we trust you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're honored to be here with you every week, and we're doing exactly that. We're raising the standard, aren't we, Pastor Donna?
I certainly hope so, Pastor
Gene. With the Word of God. And it's not about us, it's about His Word, so we hope you can stay tuned in. Have ears to hear what the Spirit of God will be saying to you today about this new year and anything we may discuss with you today. And so we just turn ourselves over to the Lord. We turn you over as well, wherever you're listening, at home, maybe on a computer, out of town, wherever you're at, in your car. We just pray that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. So we're honored to be here with you again today. So Pastor Donna here, sitting across the desk from me, she's got a couple of things she'd probably like to mention for the month of January. We've got one great thing coming up, don't we, Pastor Donna, at the end of the month.
Go ahead and tell them, Pastor.
Okay, I'll tell them. Well, we got Prophet Gary Brooks coming with us again. I've lost track how many times he comes. We usually have him a couple times a year. He's an incredible prophet. And so we're going to have him the end of this month on the 30th and the 31st of January and February 1st. It'll be a Friday night at 7, Saturday at 7, and Sunday morning at 10. So you can avail yourself to that if you'd like to come and visit and listen to what the man has to say. And who knows, he might speak a word over you.
You never know.
You never know what God's going to do with him. He just is led by the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. So we're honored to have him here. He's quite a man. So put that on your calendar. And maybe you'll have an opportunity to come to one of the meetings, or maybe you can come to all three of them, whatever, amen? So we're glad to have him coming again. So Pastor Donna, what else we got to talk about here today with him?
And he'll also have some new CDs, which we use on Friday nights. Friday night we spend time, we have Shabbat on Friday night at 7 p.m., and we also spend time seeking God's presence and soaking with some awesome CDs that people have been given by the Spirit.
That's right.
You know, they're just really awesome. And I know a lot of you really love that music, and so do we, because it brings you into the presence of the Lord. So, we also have services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and we come to worship God because the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy.
Certainly
so
is.
So we come together and worship the Lord and, you know, teaching, and sometimes we have dinner and different things happen, prophecy flows. We never know.
We just let God lead, don't we? Whatever the Lord wants
to move amongst His
That's
people.
That's right.
And He wants to change us. And then on Saturdays, right now, we're in the process. So we have Bible study on Saturday, and we usually do different things, series. So right now we're studying out a book called Boundaries. And, it's very awesome, and a lot of people are being touched by it. So we all need to know that, and that's at 4 o'clock. And we also have dance classes and worship art classes, and that's at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not just for women or children, but it's for anybody who wants to know how to worship the Lord with flags or banners or, you know, dance.
That's right.
Different types of expression, because, you know, God likes that. Amen. And it's a way of worshiping. He gives us all kinds of directions about clapping, you know, shouting. And so dance doesn't just mean some kind of a formal dance. No, it means a way of expression unto the Lord, like David, mm-hmm. for instance.
Yep.
David danced before the Lord, didn't he?
Sure did.
And he was full of the Spirit.
He abandoned himself to the Lord.
Abandoned himself to the Lord.
Right.
And, you know, so of course some people mocked him, like his wife did, mm-hmm. and she became barren, no children. And so, but David just was totally free. Because what? He was bringing the Ark of the Lord back into Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And so what did that represent? It represented God's presence. And so where is, we have the Holy Ghost. We have God's presence within us now. And so we should be full of the joy of the Lord.
Amen? The temple of God, aren't we?
We're the temple of God. Mm-hmm. So come and visit us sometime. We'd love to have you come and visit us. Amen. I want to mention one scripture, Pastor Gene. You talked about holiness. God is calling us. He wants his people. And God's going to, he's going to work it in us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to work it in us.
That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I just want to read this one scripture, and which proves that he's going to do this, that Jesus said, and I believe that this year it's even going to get hotter. Mm-hmm. It's going to get hotter. And so sometimes people have to get put on the fire a little bit to, you know, I think about just going to laugh. We've been teaching, Barbara was been teaching about the, in this boundaries, Pastor Barbara, and a couple of places, you know, we talk about, you know, when we're getting cleansed and stuff, it's like an onion and we're taking layer by layer. It's coming
peeling,
off.
Yeah.
It's peeling the layers, and sometimes, you know, we might cry for a while, but, you know, we know joy comes afterwards, but it's like, you know, it hurts, and it makes your eyes water when you're peeling an onion. And anyways, I thought about, well, God putting us on the fire. Well, you know, when he smells that, you know, that when we give that sacrifice, you know,
sweet aroma,
right? And I was saying, you know, we need to be put on the fire. Well, it says here in Mark, chapter 9, it says here, for everyone shall be salted with fire. What is fire going to do? Well, you know, it's going to bring out, it's going to bring the good out of us, and it's also going to burn out the bad. But what I am laughing is, when I was said that about the fire, it's going to change things, you know. It's going to change us, because we're going to be salted with fire. If you have to ask the Lord, really, what does that mean for me? You know, because maybe you don't have the same revelation, but, you know, God will show us all. It also says, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Well, in the things old, in the Old Testament, in the things old, they salted every single sacrifice. You go back and look, the very beginning of the Bible, when they started doing sacrifices, they were all sacrificed with salt. And like you said, they even rubbed salt on a baby.
Newborn babies.
Well, there's a reason for
that's
it.
Right.
So here we have the salt as goes on every sacrifice, and the sacrifice then goes on where? It goes on the fire, right? It goes on the fire, and you know, like when you that onion, you're peeling that onion off, and you see it makes your eyes burn. But what's it smell like when it starts to when you start to brown it, right? It smells. It's a sweet. It's a good smell. It's a sweet smell.
Yeah.
So you know, once we are on this, when we allow the Lord to burn these things out of us, or burn into us what he wants to burn into us, you know, it becomes like the sweet sacrifice, the sweet aroma to the Lord. Just like if I was going to go in there and take a pot and kind of make some onion soup, you know, brown some onions and all, you'd smell that, and it would smell good. Well, you know, God puts us on that fire to make us a sweet aroma to him.
Sweet savor, yeah.
A sweet savor to him. So he says that we're going to be salted with fire. Well, that doesn't mean we're going to be thrown into the fire, or, you know, just to burn something out real quick. No, you don't want to scorch those onions, you know. You're not going to burn them, but you're going to be, we're going to be salted with, and salt, when you salt something, it's just, you know, it's not a whole teaspoon or a whole tablespoon if you're going to salt your food. You know, you salt it. There's a salt shaker. Well, God has his salt shaker, and it's a salt shaker of fire. So every sacrifice is going to be salted. So we still need to be salted with salt, because Jesus went on and said salt is good.
Amen. In
verse 50, he says, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, see, we have to be salty for the world, right? Wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourself. So God is telling us, have salt in yourself and have peace one with another. Well, that salt is going to bring forth the peace that we'll be able to have with one another, the salt and the fire together. So he's comparing being salted with fire as also being salted with salt. So God really hasn't taken away the salting the sacrifices, as you know, like things old and things new. So he saw that's something he carried through to the New Testament, because he's saying now we are to be salted with fire. And he compares it to salt.
That's right.
And what's it going to do? It's going to make us the man and the woman that God wants us to be. Amen? So whether we want to be salted with fire or not, I don't think we have a choice.
That's right.
So what we need to do is allow the work, God's work, to work in us. Amen? Well, I thought that was kind of funny when I just, you know, saw how sometimes you just see something. I just see these onions cooking. Oh, it smells nice. Well, it's not so nice when it's raw and your eyes are crying, you know. But some things do hurt when they come out of us. You know, like say some hurt that we've had when we were a child. You know, God wants to heal us so we can go on. He doesn't want to keep us in that place. He doesn't want us to stay in that place of hurt or rejection or abuse. Maybe somebody was rejected. Maybe they were... they lost their parents when they were very young. Maybe they never had that nurturing, you know. Well, we have a Father in heaven who wants to nurture us and loves us unconditionally. And he loves us so much that he's going to salt us with fire. Praise the Lord. So this thing that were in the old, here he's brought through into now, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. So I want to mention, well, anyways, be salted with fire. Amen. And have salt in yourself. That's what Jesus told us. So I want to mention also that class is on Saturday at 4:00, and it's really awesome because it's freeing people up. It will free us up, and we all need to be freed up of something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, God is wanting to heal.
We all come from some kind of dysfunctional family. That's for sure. So there's always something that needs to be released.
So I want to mention our phone number. If you'd like to know more, if you'd like to have a calendar for our January, we'd be the calendars. I could send you out a calendar. We could send you out one. And also, if you want to know more about Prophet Gary Brooks or more about the church, you know, you can just give us a phone call, or you want to have directions on how to find us in Stuart, Florida, right on Cantor Highway. It's fairly easy to find. And the phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Well, we're honored to be here with you. Donna's already on the roll here with us.
I think I'm going to go cook some onions.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll cry for a while, and then I will smell the sweet aroma.
So I was thinking.
Well, you know, God, people do cry. And, you know, people want to try to hold it back. But crying is good. It's
good for the soul.
It washes over your soul.
That's right.
Yes, it does.
Very good. In fact, there's a psalm, isn't there, that says that every tear that we shed for something regarding our life or with the Lord, they're put in bottles, and God's going to remember those things one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't try to hold things back. When you get a touch from God, if he wants you to laugh or
it'll
cry,
turn to joy.
It'll turn into that. That's right. That's what the scripture says, you know, that sorrow can be for a night and all that, but what? Joy comes in the morning. So we have to trust the Lord and all that. Well, last week we were talking about some things out of Matthew chapter 13, and we discussed a little bit. Jesus here, Yeshua, he's given us seven parables here, and to relate to the not only in that day but also things in the future. And after he'd done all this, he came down here to in verse 51 of chapter 13. I'm just going to read this again. And Jesus said unto them, after he had done all the teaching on this, he says, "Have you understood all these things?" And they say unto him, "Yea, Lord." I doubt truthfully if they really understood everything, but they were trying the best they could. But until the Holy Ghost came, which was later on, you know, they probably didn't have the understanding that they need to have. we have the Holy Ghost, we're born again,
Amen.
Spirit filled, so we can have the understanding.
Hallelujah.
And then verse 52 is when we kind of keyed in. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, and we mentioned last week that a scribe is a scholar of the Old Testament, which is instructed unto what? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And we mentioned last week that these seven parables, the first four were really new things to the Jewish people, and the last three were kind of something, I said that back, you know, that's right, I'm sorry, I said it right. The first four are new. The last three are the old things that they basically understood. They probably understood most of that. And so we kind of related that with new beginnings. Don and I was talking about new beginnings last week, and that's an incredible thought. And as we were talking before we came on the program here, you know, we can have a new beginning every day, can't we, Pastor Don?
Amen.
And there's continual new beginnings. We talk about the number eight. The number eight, what, is a new beginning. And so just like when we think about that Jesus came out on the day after the weekly Sabbath, which if there was such a day, was the eighth day, what happened? That brought a new beginning, didn't it? And when Israel came out of Egypt, we took you over there to Exodus chapter 12, and when they came out of Egypt, he had a plan. There was a new beginning. They even changed their calendar to a prophetic calendar at that point in time to remind them what he was doing all the time. It's also a picture of what the new birth that he wanted to have with him. But they failed and disobeyed, and they had to, you know, they wandered around the wilderness another 40 years until they came into the promised land. And so we have to keep this all in mind. There's always new beginnings, isn't there?
Always new beginnings.
And I think about the Lord, you know, he says, the Old Testament says that his arm is never too short. If someone wants, if they get into in an area they shouldn't be, they have to what? Confess, acknowledge it with the Lord. He said his arm's never too short. He'll bring you right back to that place where he wants you to be, and you can start walking with him again. So a lot of people's had a lot of new beginnings with the Lord over the years. Some people's backslid several times, whatever. Hope not, but a lot of people have. You can always come back, and when you do, what is it? It's a new beginning. Isn't that wonderful, Pastor John?
Amen.
Always a new beginning. It's incredible.
Well, I'm thinking here about this one here in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now, they didn't understand that. That was a new thing for them.
That's right.
Okay. And he said, and also, they only looked at themselves as being the children of God. They didn't look to anyone else or any other Gentile nation.
That's right.
And Jesus clarifies that in 38. He says, the field is the world.
That's right.
So it's not just, the field is not just Israel.
You know, entire
Israel
world.
Is important. Those are God's people, and God never changed. God is married. God, the Father, is married to Israel, even though he separated himself for a time because of their sin. But he's never divorced them.
Nope.
You know? But God has also children for his children of the world to come into the kingdom, because he sent his son to bring that to pass, you know, the what Jesus did for the world. He says the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So he's saying, you know, there are some that are going to come in from the world that are not Jews. They're going to come into the kingdom. You know, God loves everyone. He loves people from all nations and every place, everywhere in the world. And so there's going to be a number of people that come into the kingdom through because of belief in Jesus Christ, because, you know, God sent a new way for them to come into the kingdom. And because they couldn't keep the law, but Jesus came so we could have the law of God written in our hearts.
Amen.
So that we could come into the kingdom. But he says the enemy that sowed them is the devil. So he's telling us
the
devil hasn't stopped working.
Nope.
Just because Jesus came and gave his life for us, for the world. But because the devil is still out there, and he still comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come. He came to give us what?
Life.
And to give us more abundant life.
That's right.
And then he goes on and tells them, here now he takes it all the way to the end of the world, which we're getting very close to that now. He says the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels.
So he was teaching them Jacob's trouble. Yeah,
he was teaching them something something new right here. You know,
that's right.
They didn't understand all about the kingdom of heaven, but Jesus spent so much time talking about the kingdom of heaven during those 40 days that he spent with his disciples after he rose from the dead.
Yep.
The kingdom of heaven. It says the Bible, Matthew chapter 6 says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek
right.
first the kingdom of God. Amen. And his what?
Righteousness.
His righteousness. He wants us to be righteous. That's 633.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to read the whole thing. He says, now Jesus spoke and he said, but seek ye. And of course, we've talked about the word ye. We haven't done that lately. Mm-hmm. But when you see the word ye, that means you all. That means
right.
you all. Whoever's reading this, whether you'd be a Jew or a Gentile or, you know, whatever your background is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
That's right.
And all these things shall be added unto you. What
mm-hmm.
things is he talking about? The things of the kingdom.
That's right.
I believe he's talking about the things of the kingdom. And he knows, and the Lord, the Father knows what we need while we're still here in this earthly realm. But, you know, we're not living in this earthly realm just to have fun and do things, and but we have God. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a purpose, and it's for a purpose for the kingdom that would be set up in our hearts, that we would go on and live forever.
That's right.
Mm. So he tells us, don't take any. Jesus said, don't take any thought for tomorrow. For what? Tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
That's right. Hallelujah.
He's saying there's evil. There's going to be evil. And but we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. So you think about what he said over here in Matthew 13. He
mm-hmm.
was talking directly to the Jewish people at this time, but also we know that in the book of John, Jesus, I think it was in chapter 17, mentioned he had another flock that he was going to call, okay, which is a picture of the Gentiles coming.
And he wanted the Jewish people to know that.
That's
because,
right.
you know, they were kind of...
They thought they were the only ones in the
yeah,
kingdom.
They thought they were better than anyone else.
Yeah, the only one could be in the kingdom of God.
Right, and so he was clarifying that.
Right.
You're not the only one on the block, you know, so to say. God's calling many.
So, you know, like these seven parables we talk about here, he talked about, to start with, the sower of the seed. You know, in Jesus Christ, he's the sower of the seed, and the seed is his word. And he went through these four types of ground that seed would go into, which is a picture of our heart. And the Jewish people didn't fully understand all that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't, because that was something new to them. But the Lord was bringing that forth and for them to understand. And he made a comment over here also. If we read this, I'm going to go over and look at this. Starting in verse 18 of Matthew 13, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, hear this, then cometh the wicked one and
That's
catcheth away that which was sown in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Isn't that incredible? And then he goes on, he says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and the word here in the King James is anon, A-N-O, which means
right away,
with joy, receiveth it. Now listen to this. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or last for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, hear this, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke what? The word, and he becometh unfruitful. Isn't that incredible?
Fall away.
That's right.
He falls away. How many people hear the word?
That's right.
And it's choked by the things of the world, and they fall away.
That's why ministers need to expound on the truth of the word of God,
mm-hmm.
explain what God's saying here in context. We call them ABCs, always based on context. And then people can understand, and the devil won't come and steal from them if they know the truth.
So here we're saying this, now so far you've talked about three different kinds of people.
That's right.
People that are by the wayside,
mm-hmm.
okay? People that are stony ground, stony
mm-hmm.
places. And then there's another third one, those that were choked because of the thorns and the
cares of life.
Life
mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's right.
So that's three, and now he talks about
the good seed.
Good one. Now that's three out of four.
Yeah.
So does this possibly mean that three out of four people who hear the word will fall, well, for some reason, either because of stony ground or because of weeds,
will depart.
Or because of the waste, they fall by the wayside,
mm-hmm.
the cares of the world. that they won't receive the word. So that even though I hear people say, well, I share the word, I didn't bring them to the Lord. Well, you know, it's got to be the Holy Spirit brings people to the Lord. We are just to go out and sow the word. And so you may sow the word to four people and only one out of four. This is what this is saying. One out of four will receive the word. Because now we're going to talk about the good ground. Verse 23, it says, but he that receives seed into the good ground, which that's talking about the good ground of your heart, right?
Right.
Is he that heareth the word, he listened to the word,
and he understandeth it.
He understood the word, which also beareth fruit. Now he's going to bear fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So now we're looking at this one out of four.
Mm-hmm.
One out of four who receives the word, and they bring forth fruit. They listen, they hear it, they listen, they understand it. And they're going to bear fruit. Now, they're not all going to bear 100-fold, and they're not all going to bear 60. Some will bear 100, some will bear 60, and some will bear 30. But those are the ones, one out of four, will be the ones that will take the word, receive the word, and do something with it. Amen. See, if you don't do something with it, then he goes on, he talks about the one member that buried his money in the ground. And Jesus said, you know, get away from me, you know, basically.
Yep.
You know, he didn't do anything with the word. So here, it's important to do something with the word once you hear it. Because not this just that you receive it and you believe it, but then you must go on and do something with the word and bring forth fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you will bring forth some, will bring forth 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
That's right. And then right after this, is an interesting thing here, Pastor Don, right after this, starting in verse 24 now,
mm-hmm.
then he talks about the tares and the wheat. And showing us that even though, you know, we have people that believe in all that, and all the churches and all, we know that, but there's always some tares in there that are really not true believers. And he talks about this as we read through this as well. And then he goes in and explains a few other parables. So this first parable is very important about the sower of the seed. And we know that Jesus is the sower. Let's look at this. Verse 24 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Well, the man here has to be Yeshua. He's talking about himself. And what's the good seed? Huh? The word of God. And the field is what? The world. He told us about the world. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And we've talked about tares in this program before. Tares grow up and they look just like wheat among the wheat. But you can't tell whether they're a tare until they come to full maturity. And we know wheat bows down, you know, it just flops over when it gets to full maturity. But a tare, or a darnel, it's called, will not. And they have little black seeds on them. And so we'll see why this was significant that Jesus was trying to tell them. You know, they sowed seeds, tares, I should say, among the wheat, which was the good seed, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? That's the question. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Well, a farmer would never do that, to pull those up before the full harvest would come, because he'd probably pull up some of the wheat as well. He's going to tell them that. Verse 29. But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until what? The harvest, which is going to be the end of Jacob's troubles, the harvest time. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares. This is key. The wicked people are going to go out. They're going to be destroyed first. And bind them what? In bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So he puts this right in the middle between the parable of the sower of the seed, this, and then the other parables that he's going to reveal comes after this. And then we come down, after he does a couple of those, we come down and then the disciples ask him to explain it. And we just read that, didn't we, Pastor? Do you want to read that again?
Thank you, Lord. What, go on with 31?
Yeah.
Well, that goes into another parable.
Go down about about the explanation of it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, 37 says, he that soweth the seed, the good seed, is the Son of Man. And again he says, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Wow, this is powerful. He continues to talk about the field. You know, the next one is talking about the field as well, talking about treasures hiding in being hid in the field. It'd be good to read these, all these parables that Jesus spoke about, because he's teaching them about the kingdom of heaven and how that we are to we're to go out there and sow the seed, and because God is going to bring these treasures out of the field. The field of what is the field again? The field is the world. In verse 44 it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. Now we got treasures hid in a field. Well, I believe there's many treasures that are hid in the field. And you know, God is showing us this year, you know, to go out, and at least there's treasures even in God's kingdom we haven't seen, because he wants to show us these things even in visions and in dreams. But he says there's unto treasures hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Well, this is referring to Israel. See, everyone wants to take Israel. Well, maybe not everyone, but they'd like to wipe it off of the map. You know, there is a map company which has redone their maps, I guess, and they have eliminated Israel off the map. It's not even there. They've taken it right off the map. And what many people, you know, the enemy, we're talking about the devil again, the enemy wants to destroy that place, because that's the place where Jesus, when he comes back, that's where he's going to come. He's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. That's where he's returning to. History, we go back and we're reading from the beginning of the Bible again. History tells us about all the things that happened right there in Israel, right there. It's where Abraham went. It's where most likely Adam and Eve were. So many things happened there in Israel. And so the enemy wants to destroy that place. So he says, so basically this is also talking about Israel. And then 45 it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So that's how valuable the kingdom of heaven is. Well, even when we go to heaven, it talks about the pearly gates. You know, God represents that pearl. To get through those pearly gates, you have to have found the pearl of great price, which is Jesus Christ. Whoa, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So when we go and we see heaven, the Bible talks about the gate is it's like one huge pearl. We're going to go through that. And I think that we may all think about this scripture as we go through there. Wow, this is the pearl of great price. Everything in this world is nothing but to go out and to have and to purchase. See, Jesus purchased this for us, but he gave it to us as a gift. But if we don't receive it as a gift, if we don't go out and give up all of our earthly things, our earthly things that we call treasures, because they're nothing compared to what we're going to have in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is forever and ever.
Amen.
So when he found that one pearl of great price, he went and sold it, all that he had, and he bought it. That's how precious the kingdom of heaven is. Jesus is telling us it's worth everything that you might ever think that you might have here on earth. And we tell kids, you know, you think Disney World is fun. You think Disney World is beautiful. You think Disney World has this and it has that. And of course, you can name a lot of other places, but it's nothing like what God has in store for us in heaven. You know, who knows what kind of a exciting rides and exciting times God has for us in heaven. Amen.
Sure, I think about that treasure, you know. You think of it, it's really a picture of Israel.
That's what they're I said
the,
earlier.
That's right, and they're in the world, you know.
Yes,
and he bought it. He paid for it.
He paid for it.
His life.
And the enemy's trying to take it away.
That's right.
Like, I can't remember the name of the map, but I'll find out. There's a map company that's taken, actually, they've actually now have taken Israel off the map.
Is that right?
Because that, they don't look at it as anything. It's nothing. Hmm. It's nothing to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these things. And we can go into the next one he talks about the net, you know.
There's so many here, but there's seven altogether mm-hmm. that are so important to understand.
But it's all about the kingdom.
That's what it's all about.
And they were in parables.
So they had to have spiritual ears to listen and to understand what he was saying. A lot of them did, and a lot of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting topic that we have here with all this about the new beginnings and these parables that God put in place for all of us to understand what he's wanting to show us. And so the Jewish people certainly didn't understand it. Even the disciples didn't understand it for a long time. But the key thing was that, as he said, if they don't understand that, they're going to have a problem.
I'm going to go ahead and read this last verse. This is what we're talking about. Because God is always bringing forth things mm-hmm. out of his kingdom, mm-hmm. house to household. It says in verse 52, Jesus said in 51, he says, "Have ye understood all these things?" Well, of course, they didn't understand all these things because a lot of these things were new to them. And he was instructing them many things about the world, not just Israel or not just the Jewish people. Then in 52 it says, "Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe," what is a scribe?
Scholar of the Old Testament,
Scholar, someone knows the Old Testament.
That's right.
"Which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven." Mm-hmm. See, then there's different kinds of scribes. We're talking about scribes that are instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. "Is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." New and old. So there are old things that you are going to bring forth out of the treasure, and then there are new things. There's a lot that we just read was new, but yet there are new things even today and tomorrow and the next day that God wants to bring forth out of his treasure, mm-hmm. out of the kingdom of heaven, that we would understand greater and deeper things and have... There's always something new God is wanting to tell us.
That's right.
And we don't know everything, but you know, the Spirit of God knows everything, and so he knows our heart. And so God reveals mysteries, little nuggets, you know, mm-hmm. that we would, it really draws us closer to him. It draws us that we would have one no more, and we'd be hungry for the things of the kingdom of heaven. Not hungry for the things of the earth or the world, but for to seek first those things in the kingdom, seek first God.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very important.
Very important.
The things of the kingdom of God.
Things of the kingdom.
It's so powerful. Amen.
Thank you.
I was thinking about Pastor Donovan, the same thing that Jesus talked about. Mark wrote down in chapter 4, and about the sower of the seed, and I kind of liked. It tells you here in chapter 4, verse 11, it says this, "And he," this is Yeshua, "said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God," here, okay, "but unto them that are without, all mm-hmm. things are done in parables," okay? So he wanted his disciples to understand. And then verse 12 says that he goes to the Old Testament, one of the old things, "that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be," what, "converted, and their sins should be forgiven them." So he takes them right back to chapter 6, I think, in Isaiah. "And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all the parables?" And he goes into the parable of the sower. And then verse 17, I like this, it says, and have no root in themselves," this other group, "and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction," listen, "affliction or persecution ariseth," and here it is, "for the word's sake." Because of the word, immediately they are offended. You know how many arguments there are over the word of God, Pastor Donald, because we have the wrong translations and all that? And so we don't want to get into an arena like that at all, do we? And so it's because of the word's sake. Well, the word was sent to us to give us life, not death. But we see a lot of things happen the wrong way with it. But And so people do fall away. But it says, for the word's sake, immediately, he says, listen to this, they are what? Offended. This is the key word. They are offended by the word of God. And we have a lot of that going on in the world today. I'm going to mark this in my Bible, Pastor Donald, while I'm reading here. I've never underlined the word offended. They were offended because of the word of God, because maybe they don't want to believe it, or they think it was written by men only. It was not done by the Holy Ghost, or Jesus really didn't speak this. We have all these thoughts out here. And so they were offended because of the word's sake. Isn't that incredible? And then he says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh what? Unfruitful in our lives. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. You notice this is written here by Mark, just backwards from what it was in Matthew. Matthew right. said some bring forth, what, 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here it says some 30 first, and some 60, and some 100. And then he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? He says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should what? Come abroad. So, we have a lot of things in the Bible people think that are secrets. I got a book, or a lady wrote this book, passed away, it's called Forbidden Knowledge. A lot of things that people think are forbidden knowledge today are really not, because you look into it. And I'll just challenge you, if you want to find out some things that a lot of people call forbidden knowledge, buy the book that Don and I put together, the pictures of this Messiah, and about God's appointed time, and it reveals all the secret things that's been revealed through those appointed times. It's here today. It's always been there. It's never not been there, but no one's looked at it because we've been robbed of our Jewish roots, and we pulled some things out. And so we want to know the whole truth. And if we do, well, then we're going to understand some things. But a lot of people might get offended with that. You know, you think so, Pastor Donna?
Amen. Surely. Well, you know, we go ahead and finish it. If we were going to finish though in chapter 13.
Yeah, go right ahead.
In Matthew, well, you know, after Jesus taught these things, and then he also gave the parables, but yet he also gave the explanation.
Of the key one.
Explain them. Then it says that, you know, he left there, they departed, and when he finished giving these parables, they departed, and he went to his own country.
Sure.
Well, then he started teaching in the synagogues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they mocked him there, and they said, well, you know, isn't this, I'm going to paraphrase it, isn't this the son of Mary, you know, and
yep.
doesn't he have brothers and sisters mm-hmm. and so forth and so on? And so they made fun of him, and they didn't believe him, you know. And so, you know, they were offended in him. And so they didn't listen. They didn't hear. And he was speaking to Jewish people now there.
That's right.
You know, maybe perhaps because he was in the synagogue. So we know that there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees there. Not just his disciples or just the ones who were following him that he was teaching over here.
That's
about
right.
The parables. But now he's teaching in this. He's going into the synagogues. You know, first you have this small gathering of people
mm-hmm.
that's listening to him and pulling every word. And wanting to hear every word he has
to say. Right.
And wanting to understand every word he had to say. And then you go over to this other group of people, he's teaching in the synagogues, and they don't believe it, they don't want it, they're amazed by it. And they're questioning in their minds, not believing him. And Jesus went ahead and said to them, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. They did not believe him.
That's right.
And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
But I thought about those parables where it says they were offended because of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is the word. He was the word that was speaking to them. And you look at verse 57,
mm-hmm.
the beginning, and
all the
religious leaders. And they were what? Offended in him.
A lot
of people were offended in the word that he brought forth because he was the Son of God.
He is the word.
So
like
the word is him. It's he. He's the word.
The word was speaking the word of God.
That's right.
And they did not want to receive it from
nope.
a man. They didn't want to receive it from Yeshua. They were looking, I don't know what, they were looking for him to set up a kingdom here on earth. But this wasn't the time. He came
sure.
as a servant. He didn't come as a ruler. He came as a servant. And they didn't want to receive anything from a servant because they were high and mighty. And they thought they were, you know, great. But they weren't great. They were the least in the
right.
kingdom. They were the least.
Yeah. And they thought if he was the Messiah that he would conquer all the Romans. mm-hmm. and that his kingdom would be established. But that was not the plan of God.
Not the plan of God.
The plan of God was the kingdom of God would come into us, mm-hmm. right, Pastor Donovan? When we're born again without observation. But we can reveal it through mm-hmm. our lives into the world. But one day we're going to see the real kingdom totally in operation, and he will be the one in charge.
But the plan of God was that he came the world, people from, not just from the Jewish nation, but people from in the world would find the kingdom.
But might know him, yeah.
Might know him. He came for everyone. He came for the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. I like this scripture. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Jesus
That's
said right. that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
You know, we all know this verse, and I love it. You know, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Now, we always forget about the next verse. Listen to this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Hear this?
Nah.
But that the world through him, what? Might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from their sins. That's what he came to. His blood was shed. Allowed that to happen with all of us that came to Christ. So our sins have been washed away, thank you, Lord, by the blood of Yeshua. That blood that dropped into the ground on that cross on Golgotha hundreds of years ago for our benefit. And so we just thank the Lord for that. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what he was manifested for. Amen. Now we look at the bottom of chapter 3 in John. Verse 35 says, the Father loveth the Son, and that's true, and hath given all things, what? Into his hand. He that believeth on the Son, listen to this now, hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. As long as he doesn't accept Christ, the wrath of God abides on him. Amen? So Jesus was sent for that purpose. And so the parables
Amen.
Over here in Matthew 13 are so important. And God told the disciples there, if you don't understand these seven things that I'm going to bring forth here, you won't understand anything else that I'm going to say. And so it's so important that you
Thank
and
you
I understand this as well and look into it and know what God wants us to know with all of this. Amen? So, these are incredible, these seven parables. And we mentioned up front, the first four, the Jewish people didn't fully understand them. But the last three, they basically understood those. About
well, I don't think they understood a lot of the last three either.
Well,
especially
completely.
What I just sort of read about
yeah.
the field.
Yeah.
I don't think, because they had a mindset, you know, about
That's right.
that they were... that Israel was the only place, and God loves the whole world. He created it, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, these three though reveal to them the purpose that God had for Israel. Why did he choose the Jews to be the Savior would come out of the Jews? Remember, the Bible says Jesus said he says salvation cometh of the Jews. Okay, and so here we have this, and so he was trying to reveal to them, and they probably didn't even realize that they were a treasure hidden in the field of the world because. Israel was God's plan for what was going to happen in the future, not only with them, but then we know that he had another flock that was going to come, which would be the Gentiles. And so now we have both, don't we? We have Jew and Gentile together in the body of Christ. That's the whole plan. And we talked about this a little bit last week, a little bit. Remember that God has a 7,000-year program. It's in our book to put what in place the kingdom, the 7,000-year program. So he's going to restore us at the end the way it was in the Garden of Eden. The earth will be restored, mankind will be restored, and then we'll see that in the kingdom as well when it's going to all be restored the way God wants. And so it's an incredible program, and there's two running together. Israel has a program, the ecclesia, the church. The church can be either Jew or Gentile that's in Messiah. I'm talking about the Israel, the ones that don't know Yeshua. That program is also running, and God's got a plan for that as well. So it's amazing if we can understand some of these things that we won't be fooled by what we hear sometimes on the radio or TV or anything, and we can understand what God's wanting us to even know. You know, here's a quick one I'm thinking about, Pastor Donna, right here. If you look at verse 32 in Matthew 13, listen to this. This is a warning about the last days. Listen to this. He says, 31 and 32, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Well, the man here has to be Christ, okay, I believe that. And the field we know is he's talking about the world. Now listen to this, which indeed is the least of all seeds, mustard. We had a man come and teach one time and gave us all mustard seeds. So tiny, you had to put it on a piece of tape so you wouldn't drop it on the floor and lose it, so you keep it on your finger. All right, it's the least of all the seeds, it says in verse 32. But when it is grown, now listen to this, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree. Think about this. Mustard trees are not a big tree. They're like a little bush, okay? They're not real big. And it says, though, when it's grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The birds are a picture of the demonic realm in everything that we see. If we look at 13 verse 4, it says, and when he sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the fowls or the birds came and what? Devoured them up. So what is this a picture of? This is an anomaly. A mustard tree is not huge. It's a small tree. So I think it's a pattern showing us about some of the huge things. We got huge churches in America and all that. And what happens? The birds can come and rest in the nest in those churches and bring a lot of demonic things forth. And so it's a warning. He says, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, the smallest. But when it's grown, it is the greatest among herbs. It might be a good herb and becometh what? A tree. It'll never become a tree. And the birds, and so the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof and can bring destruction. That's a warning. It's a warning to us today. All right. It's an anomaly. It's not normal. That was that tree, that mustard bush, doesn't turn into a huge tree. Okay. So we see a lot of warnings in all this to help us understand what God's trying to tell us in this chapter. 57, 58 verses gives us a whole clue to what Jesus came and was planned to do with all of this. Amen? Now, because we were talking about this, we already talked about the four types of soil. I'm going to go to verse 11 now in chapter 13. Jesus answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So he spoke in parables. Now listen to this. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now think, what's that? What's he telling? Telling us here. Think of this word hath here. For whosoever hath what? Understood these things that he's going to talk about, to him shall be what? Given, be given even more.
I think this refers to John 10:10.
That's right. He shall be given more abundance. See, the word abundance is in here.
Right.
And then he says, whosoever hath not, another hath not understood the things, shall be the things that was given to them will be taken away that he hath.
And who's going to take them away?
Seems
the devil.
The devil. Therefore, he says, Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. What's that mean? It means they're grown dull, huh? And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That should be us today to understand this. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard. And then he goes on, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So he goes in and gives a description of the types of soil that went into. So it's incredible when we think about this. So think of, the more we understand, the more God's going to give you. The least you understand, you're gonna lose what you probably already have, and you're not going to grow and mature and understand the things of God. And so we have to understand these parables. And I'll read it again. For whosoever hath, what? Hath understanding of all these, and God gives us understanding by the Holy Ghost. To him shall be given, what? Even more. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, what? Understood, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Or what he seems to have, he loses it. We talk about the manifestations of the Spirit all the time, don't we, Pastor John? That God gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the realm of the Spirit moving in the Holy Ghost and all that. Well, I think about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues and all that. You know, if we receive that and then we don't exercise it and we don't use it for our benefit, maybe other people as well, well, what's going to happen? You're going to slowly lose what you had, and you won't even use it anymore. It'll just become dormant in your life. So we have to understand and then move into the realm of the understanding, and then we can operate in the realm of the Spirit the way God wants us to be. It's incredible when we think about all these things. And so this chapter 13 is very important because it's right in the middle of the book of Matthew. Very right in the middle. And so, as we look at it, we can grow and understand some great things that God wants us to know. So what kind of seed are you? This is my question I ask people all the time. The seed that you're receiving as you spend time with the Lord, you read the Bible and all, what is that seed that's being put into you? What is it producing out into the world? We just read there in Matthew, it said some will bring forth, what, 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Mark said some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. So what is the seed that you're receiving with your depth with the Lord? What is it producing out into the world? This is the challenge with this chapter. The more we know about God, the more time we spend with Him, the more we can understand the Scriptures and not listen to every John Doe that has something to say that may be contrary to the Word of God. If we can just get the truth of the Word of God. Jesus, when you know the truth, it will make men free. And if we have that, well, then what's going to happen? We're going to have good things coming out of our life. Mm-hmm. We're going to be seed producers. I talk about when I was a kid, I loved the story about Johnny Appleseed. They went out and threw those apple seeds all up and down the road. Now, a lot of them are snatched by the birds like we read here. But a lot of them went into the ground. Some of them didn't get enough moisture or anything, and they died. But some of them went into the ground, and they began to produce. And what happened? The apple seeds produced trees, and they began to grow. So we're like apple seeds, aren't we? So we should be casting our seed out into the world, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we believe when it goes out that there's going to be a certain number of people that it's going to mature and it's going to come out and produce a lot even this day and this
hour. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we're down to about 2 minutes here now.
Amen.
It goes by so fast.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Read Matthew chapter 13. It's awesome. And it starts out, you know, he was sitting on the seashore and speaking to lots and lots and lots of people. And then his disciples started asking him questions.
That's right.
So, you know, God is speaking to he's wanting to speak to the world. Jesus came that all might be saved. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. If you haven't received Jesus in your heart, this is a good time to do it. Just when we get off this radio program, just go and find a quiet place and ask Jesus to come into your heart, and he will make a change in you. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're blessed to be on this radio program every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 p.m. And we're also on the internet. You can go back and listen to this broadcast again on WCNO.com and just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard with Pastor Gene Hilton. And you can listen to this and other teachings that we've had over the last year or two. So we're just blessed to be here. If you want to come and come to our church, if you'd like to come and have fellowship with us in our ministry, we're going to have Prophet Gary Brooks with us the end of the month on the 30th, the 31st, and also the 1st of February. That's 3 days in a row. 3 days he'll be with us. So give us a call. We'd be glad to send out a calendar and come visit us. I'm going to give you our phone number. We're here in Stuart, Florida. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. We do have services on Sunday. So come and be blessed, or go to church somewhere Sunday. Find a church that preaches the Word of God, and you'll be blessed. Amen.
Amen. So what do we tell you every week as we close? We tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor
Don? Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
Amen.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.